Wings of Chaos. Chapter 3. A Scar to be Remembered. Whisper spoke Draconic fluently and seemed to be arguing with the 8-foot-tall, blue-scaled man. He gestured at the woman and said something, which seemed to anger the man. The discussion lasted for a full minute in a language Shale didn't know, before the scaled man waved Whisper off and drew his massive greatsword from behind his back. The blade flashed in the morning sunlight, of a height to Shale. She eyed its sharp edge and lost her breath for a moment, fear flashing through every limb and holding her there. Shale looked over at her companions. The sailors in the keep had filed out of the large doors and now stood in a semicircle across from the 200 invaders. Philip pointed a finger at his chin and mouthed the words, "Weak spot." She nodded back, licking her lips, which were dry. When was the last time she drank some water? It must have been the night before, with supper. Shale cleared her throat, looking up at her competition. He was nearly 3 feet taller, and standing a dozen steps away, with the point of his greatsword resting in the dirt. "Release the prisoners," she said, her voice sounding much braver than she felt. A smile touched the edge of his scaled lips. "We will release the youngest prisoners." He gestured to the group of kobolds holding them. "Release the 3 children. The girl stays with us until the fight is done." The 2 children and teenager were released, and the older boy rushed by them as fast as he could through the crowd and back to the keep. Shale nodded to Ozarin, who had just whispered down to Escobar. He cast his writhing armor over his body and gave her the slightest of nods. "What is the name of the person I am to fight?" Shale asked, turning back. "I am Langdedrosa Cyanrath." He bowed his head. "Thank you for accepting this noble challenge. May the best man win." Shale returned the bow slowly, nervously. "May the best person win," she said. She drew the 2 swords from her back and held them aloft. Langdedrosa raised his great sword, and they began to circle one another with cautious footsteps. How was she going to reach his chin? His reach was far longer than hers, his armor much thicker, and he moved with a deftness one would not expect from someone so large. Shale had never fought in a duel. Sure, she had fought before, plenty of times, but nothing like this. "It's okay," she thought to herself reassuringly, heart pounding in her chest. "All you need to do is stall until your friends can stop this madness." Langdedrosa struck first, his massive blade cutting through the air with incredible agility. Shale ducked under the first cut, which narrowly missed taking off her head. As she ducked, her boot caught in the dirt and she stumbled, just barely, but it was enough to give her opponent the advantage. He backhanded the pommel of his sword into her chest, and she felt the breath leave her and heard the crack of ribs. She fell back, gasping for air, and feeling blood in her throat. She coughed and spit into the dirt, leaving behind a red stain. Her opponent gave her the chance to stand, and she moved quicker now, the pain disappearing with the adrenaline. She twisted her blades in her hands, looking for an opening as they circled each other once again. Shale saw the flash of an illusion in front of her eyes, and heard someone yell from the crowd, "No funny business!" She didn't dare look to see what had happened. What were her friends doing? Were they doing anything? How naive was she, putting her life in their unsteady hands, when she'd known most of them for less than 12 hours? There was more noise on the edge of the circle, and Shale spared a glance to see Ozarin pushing at the group of kobolds holding the young woman hostage. He was trying to tackle the prisoner free, but they pushed him away, daggers raised at the half-elf. 2 struck at him simultaneously, and when they hit his flashing armor, they turned to ice and exploded. "Does no one fight with honor?" Langdedrosa growled, looking over to the commotion. He turned back to Shale. "We are the only ones who fight honorably." She leaped forward to attack. Her first blade, wielded by her dominant hand, slashed across his neck and left a streak of red, but the cut was shallow. He had jumped back just in time. Her other sword slammed against his armor and made her hand ring with numbness. She hopped back, holding a defensive stance. She tried to catch her breath, and her chest burned. Her mouth tasted like iron. Langdedrosa attacked again, and she parried the blow, but the strength of her foe brought her to one knee as she tried desperately to defend herself. He pulled his massive blade from her crossed ones, throwing her off balance as she tried to stand again. The greatsword arched down in a flash of steel, cutting into her shoulder. The blade stuck firmly in her flesh, and she gasped in surprise, blood pouring from her open shoulder. Langdrosa looked down at her with pity and ripped the greatsword free. With his blade holding her up, her legs lost their purpose, and she felt herself fall backwards into the dirt. Gasping for breath, Shale stared up at the faded blue sky and the large, blue-scaled man who stood over her, her lifeblood streaming out, sucked in by the thirsty ground. "It was an honor fighting you," he said, and thrust the greatsword into her chest. It took only a heartbeat. One heartbeat. Cold and darkness washed over her body. "Kellic, where are the children? What's happened?" "I give you the hunter's mark, Shale. Use it to avenge them." That was not Kellic's voice. "Hunter's mark? What does that mean?" "You are already strong, Shale, but you will need to get stronger. To find your vengeance, you must first defeat Tiamat." Shale awoke to the sound of voices and hurried footsteps all around her.
"Shale, are you awake?"
Whose voice was that?
"Hey, I think she's awake."
Shale opened her eyes a crack and saw Keelan's face looking at her. She was lying in a cot, still inside the keep. She raised a hand slowly and touched her chest, feeling for broken ribs. There were none. She felt the rip of her shirt and touched the fabric where it had been sliced open by the greatsword.
"Hey, fighter, you nearly died. Maybe next time you should let me do the fighting."
"Don't get yourself knocked in the head next time, then," she croaked. She sat up suddenly, her head pounding, and nearly fell back, dizzy.
"Take it easy, all right? Reverence healed you enough to keep you breathing, but there's still some recovery time ahead.
Ah," Keelan said as she looked down at her shoulder, where a thick scar now cut across her black skin from collarbone to armpit.
"That is permanent, I'm afraid. You're lucky you kept your arm."
She ran a finger along the scar where, only hours before, there had been a gaping wound.
"I kind of like it," she said, nodding to affirm it. "It reminds me that I'm not invincible."
Her voice cracked, and Keelan handed her a water skin, which she took a swig of gratefully, coughing.
"Alive,"
Whisper purred, bounding up to her. She smiled and scratched him behind the ear, which only intensified the purring.
"What's happened? How long was I out?" she asked. "We've all been sleeping," Keelan told her, standing up from the cot's edge. "After that first fight, we all needed a rest. It's late afternoon. Come on, we are just about to talk to Governor Tarbaugh."
Shale stood with the help of the tabaxi and followed behind the human.
"Glad to see that you are awake," Ozarin nodded. "Look,
He paused, looking embarrassed.
"I'm sorry about what happened. I tried to free the girl."
"I saw," she nodded, "what happened after I was struck down."
"Well, they handed the girl over and then packed up and headed south."
"South, not east?" He shook his head.
"They didn't follow the dragon. We're not sure why."
"Ah, Shale," Tarbaugh said as they approached him in his small study. He stood and took her hand, bowing. "Thank you for what you've done." He looked at them each in turn. Reverence, Keelan, Whisper, Ozarin, Philip, and finally back to Shale. "Thanks to all of you. You saved this town. You saved our people."
"We were happy to do so,"
Ozarin said. "I have asked a lot of favors from you six in the last 12 hours, and I'm afraid I have to ask one more." He glanced around uncertainly.
"Go on, then,"
Philip said, folding his arms and grimacing back at the governor. Tarbaugh clutched his hands together nervously. "If you can follow these raiders and find out where they are going and why they attacked us, we would be forever in your debt."
"That's for sure," Philip agreed. "What makes you think we would risk our lives for that kind of information?"
"I think what he's trying to ask," Reverence began, "is how much will we be paid?"
"Yes, of course," Tarbaugh nodded. "We would pay you 200 gold, each."
Shale rubbed her shoulder as her companions considered. She had something she needed to do. She didn't have time to waste on this. Then again, these raiders were going around killing people and stealing their livelihoods. She couldn't stand for that, could she?
Plus, there'd been that voice just before she thought she'd die. 200 gold was a fortune to her. Imagine what she could accomplish with that. Besides, what information could she glean while traveling with these people? She had to admit, traveling alone was wearisome, not to mention dangerous.
"And what about our payment for the night's events?" Philip asked, cutting into Shale's reflective thoughts.
"Oh, yes." Tarbaugh walked around the room to his desk, inserting a key into one of the drawers and counting out a stack of gold pieces. 25 gold to set you on your way?" They looked at each other, then back at the governor. Philip nodded.
"All right, I think that will suffice."
Tarbaugh handed out the gold without another word. Shale filled her pouch, surprised by the new weight of it at her side. "You need to build better defenses," Ozarin was saying, but Shale was finished with the conversation. "You'll need to hire more men and women for your army." She was tired. As Ozarin continued his lecture, she exited the room and leaned against the cold stone wall, closing her eyes in exhaustion, one hand on her chest. There was her heart, steadily pumping away. It was like a bad dream had just passed, and she narrowly escaped the eternal nightmare.
"Shale! Shale!"
Her eyes flew open, and she saw Nazim, one of the monk students, pushing through the crowd of civilians and rushing to her. His black hair was plastered to his face, and he was limping.
"Shale!"
he said again, breathing hard as he stopped in front of her.
"Something's happened."
"What is it?" she demanded, straightening.
"Leosin, he's been taken."
Nazim held up 2 broken pieces of their monk teacher's staff.
"Taken? Why?"
He sighed, arms dropping to his side.
"I have a lot to tell you."
Listening to Wings of Chaos by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. Thanks for listening.